When we were shaking hands a minute ago, I said to Evan, I said, Evan, have you got your eyes on Chantel? You giving Chantel the eye? And he said, no, I've got my eyes on you. And I thought to myself, how appropriate, because that's exactly the subject that I'm going to preach about tonight. It's sort of a New Year's sermon tonight. And, you know, New Year's is a good time, and I hope you take some time to do it this week before you actually get to New Year's Day next Saturday. But it ought to be a time of year where we look back and we thank God for all the things that He's brought us through, for all the things, the way He's blessed us this past year. But it's also time to look forward, a time to make plans and to set goals and, you know, make resolutions about how you want to make things different in the new year. And I want to, I have a one-point message tonight, one truth that, it's not a new truth, but again, sometimes the truths that are old and the truths that are familiar and the truths that everybody would raise their hand and say, yep, I know that, I know that's the truth. Sometimes we need to be reminded of those truths. So I'm going to use that one little phrase in verse 12 that we read a moment ago where it says, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, talking about the land, the promised land, from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. And I'm just going to say it a little bit different way, because really what God was saying is, I'm going to have my eyes on you, His people, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Every day in that year, every one of the 365 days or 366 days, if it's leap year, I'm going to have my eyes on you. And so I've entitled my message tonight, the eyes of the Lord are always upon you. The eyes of the Lord, again, not a new truth, a truth that every single person here tonight would say, I know that. I know God has His eyes on me every day of the year. But a truth I think we need to be reminded of. Let me just remind you of the situation or the context of these verses. Of course, the book of Deuteronomy was sort of Moses' farewell address. It was after he'd led the people out of Egypt. They'd spent the time wandering in the wilderness. I think, I'm not sure, but probably most of the people that were going to die, the ones that were over 20 years of age that were going to die before they go into the promised land, were already dead. Maybe not. Maybe there were a few more that were going to die during the events that happened in the book of Deuteronomy. But the whole book is Moses rehearsing for the people what God had done for them. And he made the statement in that first verse that we read. He says, look, I'm not telling you something that you don't know. Your eyes have seen all the things which the Lord did. You've seen it. You've been an eyewitness. You've experienced it personally. It's not something that you've read about. It's not something that your mom or dad or grandpa or grandma told you about. It's something you have seen with your eyes. And so, and remember, Moses was not going to get to go into the promised land. He disobeyed God. They'd come to where they wanted water another time, and God had told him, he said, hey, I want you and Aaron to just go speak to the rock. Don't strike it again. Of course, and God was painting a picture way back in the early part of the Bible of the Savior, and Moses, when he struck the rock a second time, messed up the type or the picture of Christ. And it was a serious offense, and so Moses nor Aaron got to go into the promised land. Moses was going to finish this speech, so to speak, this discourse, this instruction, this encouragement to the people, and then God was going to take him up into a mountain and let him see the promised land, just see it, and then take him to heaven. And so he's got this group of people gathered together, all the Israelites, all the Jews. And again, he's sort of giving them the last minute instruction. This will be the last time that he stands before him. And I want you to realize that as Moses looked at this group of people, that he had a very special feeling, a very special love for them. You know, he's the one that led them out of Egypt. He's the one that had led them those 40 years through the wilderness. He's the one that had, that had told them about the manna that was going to come from heaven. He's the one that on different occasions did different things at God's command to give them water every day. He brought their petitions to God. When they wanted to ask God for something, they would come to Moses, and Moses would take those petitions to God. And he carried God's word to them. Remember, they said, hey, after God spoke from the mountain of Sinai, where he gave them the Ten Commandments, the people came to Moses and said, hey, let God talk to you, and then you come talk to us. Don't let God talk to us anymore. And so he brought them God's word. He solved their problems. I mean, at first he tried to take it all himself. Remember, and his father-in-law gave him some good advice. He would sit there for the whole day, and people would bring their problems to him, and Moses would solve them. And his father-in-law said, hey, you're going to wear yourself out. Set you up some helpers and let them bring the easy cases to the helpers and the hard cases to you. But and so he solved their problems. He shared their heartaches. He laughed when they laughed. They cried when they cried. And as he was looking at this group of people who he cared very much for, as he was looking at this group of people who he loved very much, he was sort of looking forward into the future, and he was giving them his final instructions. And I think he was saying to himself, "Hey, I know what next year is going to bring. I know what you are going to go through." And again, I don't know, but perhaps he said, hey, you know, you're going to be in the wilderness for a while longer. There's a few more people that have to die. Everybody that was over 20 years old when they refused to go into the promised land the first time had to die before God would let them into the promised land. And perhaps there were a few more people that were going to pass away before all these requirements were going to be met. So there were going to be a few more days, maybe a month or so more in the wilderness. In that time of wandering, a time of hardship, a time where God's people were paying for their sin of disobedience, a time of death. And the Bible tells us it's just an 11-day journey from where they started. I think it's 11 days. Reg, is that right? Was it 11 days? 11-day journey from where they started until they come into the promised land. But the Bible says that after 39 or 40 years, I can't remember the exact date, they made that trip. They got to where they were supposed to be. Took them 40 years to make an 11-day journey and 40 years to wander in the wilderness to pay the price of their sin. No permanent home. Just think about it. For 40 years, they would pitch their tent, unpitch their tent wherever God told them to. When the cloud stopped, they'd pitch their tent. When the cloud started, they'd unpitch it and get started. Or the pillar of fire by night. And so, and they didn't have homes. They didn't dig wells. They didn't plant gardens. I mean, there was nothing that the things that give people security, they didn't have any of it. They were wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. And so Moses said, hey, there's going to be some more of that in the next 12 months. Maybe just a few days, maybe just a few weeks, maybe a month or two, but you're going to continue paying for the sins of not going into the promised land. And then he said to himself, and sometime in this year, you're going to cross the Jordan River. You're going to go into the promised land. I don't know if God gave him a picture of everything that was going to happen. I sort of think he did. And again, Moses didn't tell him, but I think he thought to himself, sometime this year, that Jordan River is going to split. And you're going to walk across that Jordan River on dry ground just like you crossed the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt. And you're going to know once again that you have a God that works miracles. I mean, this is not something that man can do. Man can't split rivers or seas. Only God can do that. And sometime in this next year, you're going to see the power of God in your life unmistakably again as you go into the promised land. He knew that these people were going to fight some battles the next year. Again, I don't know if God sort of gave him a panoramic view of everything that was going to happen, but he knew there was going to be battles like Jericho, where the people of Israel would win the battle and destroy and capture a city without losing one solitary soldier. They would take that city and conquer it and take possession of it without losing one man. There would be great victories. Victories where people would clap their hands and praise God and say, glory to God, he's given us the victory. But I think Moses could also look ahead and say, there's going to be defeats. There's going to be places like Ai, where we're going to lose soldiers, where men are going to die, and we're going to look to heaven. We're going to ask the question, God, why have you forsaken us? Why have you turned your back on us? And so Moses, as he's talking to this group of people who he's led for these 40 years, he's looking into the future. He knows what the future is going to bring. He knows all these things that this year is going to hold. Still some wandering in the wilderness, some battles, some Jordan rivers. And this last opportunity that he has to talk to his people, he says this: from the beginning of the year till the end of the year, the eyes of the Lord are always upon you. When you have those great victories, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. When you have those defeats, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. When you have those battles, when you still have those dry spells in your life where you're wandering through the wilderness and it seems aimless, you have no purpose, you're just going, setting one foot in front of the other. Don't forget this one truth. Keep this one truth in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind, however you want to say it. Keep it in your mind all the time. The eyes of the Lord are upon you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. You're going to cross the Jordan River. You're going to see God work in a mighty way. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. You're going to fight some battles. Some you're going to win, some you're going to lose. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Just don't forget that truth. Live in that truth every single day, that there's not a day passes that the eyes of the Lord are upon you. We sing that little song sometimes. Dick sings it in Sunday school. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hand, what you do. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little ear, what you hear. Be careful, little foot, where you go. And there's probably a lot more verses than that. But the truth of that song is, for the Father up above is looking down in love every single day of the year. Always. Always. When my children were little and they'd be in the other room, one of us would always go in periodically to make sure that they weren't getting into trouble. But God doesn't work like that. God doesn't pull spot checks. He is there all the time. He knows, just like that little song, there's a lot of truth in those little Sunday school songs. God sees us and keeps his eye on us all the year through, every day of the year. He knows what we hear. He knows what we say. He knows what we do. He knows where we go. And so Moses was telling his people that he loved. He said, look, I know some of the things you're going to face next year. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some easy times. There's going to be some times you're on the mountain of victory. There's going to be other times you're in the valley of defeat. There's going to be times that you feel God's right there with you and you can feel his presence in a very special way. There's going to be other times where you feel the skies are made out of brass and your prayers can't get through. He said, I want you to remember every single day that God has his eye on you. He never takes it off. Every single day of the year. This, believe it or not, some of you will believe it, but this is the 2,128th sermon that I've preached in this place. This is 2,128 times that I've stood either here or up there or down there or back there in the fellowship hall and preached in this place. For almost 16 and a half years, I've been your pastor and you've been my people. And like the Israelites were a special people to Moses, you're a special and dear people to me. And I know I'm not able to express it as much as I want, not because I don't want to, but because most of the time I don't know how to express it. But I love you in ways that I can't explain to you. I think you have to be a pastor, and you have to go to the hospitals, and you have to go to funeral homes, and you have to stand beside people when they're hurting, to understand how a pastor loves his people. I think about you, and I pray for you every day. Sometimes as a group, sometimes as individuals. Sometimes God will bring certain people to my mind without any special thing going on. Other times there's special things that are going on that bring you or others to my mind, and I just stop and pray. I've been praying for Brother Dwayne since Brother Clint called me on Thursday morning and told me about his fall. Been praying for him and for Gene. We were talking last night at the hospital, and we sort of made a pact between the three of us. No hospital in 2005. And I wish we could make those pacts and make it happen that, you know, no hospital in 2005. But I've been praying for him. Evan has been on my mind a lot of late. I've been praying for Evan. I've been praying for Brother Earl, first Christmas without Millie. I've been thinking and praying for him. I've been praying for Helen, 2 years since we buried Brother Vern. And I don't mention those anniversaries often, but I think about them, and I pray for the people that God brings to my heart and mind on those anniversaries. And I could go on. I mean, I could spend the rest of the time that we have and tell you the past couple weeks how God has brought different people across my mind. I was praying for Brother Don last Sunday night. We left here and stopped by the funeral home where his sister was, but they'd already gone, and I was praying for him Monday and as we were flying. But God, and I just can't tell you tonight. I don't know. I can't put it into words how special you are to me and how dear you are to me. And again, some of you know what I'm talking about because you've gone to funeral homes and you've stood beside folks whose loved ones laid in the casket. You've been in the hospital and you've prayed before the operations. But in 16 and a half years, a pastor and a people can go through a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of weddings, there's a lot of funerals, there's a lot of births of children and grandchildren. A lot of occasions where we prayed for people, for family members and friends, and we've rejoiced when they've gotten saved and when they've gotten baptized. And so I feel akin a little bit tonight to how Moses felt as he stood before his people. And this is not going to be my last sermon, by the way, I hope. I mean, I'm not saying that. But I have that same feeling. We're about to start a new year. 2005 will be here in the next Sunday that we meet. And I can't see the future like Moses did. I don't know exactly what's going to happen to you or to anybody else in our church. But I can see some things in the future. And tonight, my one point, my one truth that I want you to take home with you and think about this week and think about all this year is that the eyes of the Lord are upon us every single day. You see, some of us are going to spend some time in the wilderness this year. We'll go to the funeral home again. We'll go to the hospitals. There'll be problems with children, problems with marriages. God's going to use trials and heartaches to get our attention about certain things, to work out His will in our life. And I just want to remind you tonight, when you go through the wilderness, like some of us will, I want you to remember that God doesn't take His eyes off of you. It's like Brother Wendell was, I thought he was going to preach my message, the one I had for tonight this morning when he was testifying before he sung. And it just sort of reinforced to me that God wanted us to hear it twice. God's not surprised by things that happen in our life. I mean, like I mentioned before, there's no accidents. It's all part of God's plan. And when we go into the wilderness, when we go into those times in our life where we would choose not to be there, we need to remember that there's a God in heaven that doesn't blink, that his eyes are upon us every single day of the year. He knows what we're going through, and He'll be there for us. So don't ever think that you're going, when you're in the wilderness, that you're there by yourself. Don, I know you and Carol, like you were talking about, this past week's been pretty tough on you, but you got a God that knows what you're going through. He's got his eye on you. Some of you are going to have Jordan River crossings this year. There's going to be things that happen in your life that you'll look to heaven and you'll say, boy, that was God. That was God. Nobody else could do it. No, this is not a man-made thing. Only God could accomplish this. I mean, it might be seeing somebody get saved that you've been praying for years and years and years. I can't help but smile. Every time Helen gets me by herself, she just rejoices over Harold and Betty getting saved. I mean, every time we get by herself, she just sort of, she doesn't do it literally, but I can just hear her rubbing her hands together and her heart smiling. She prayed for those folks for years and years and years and years. And when they got saved and baptized, that was, she's told me in not so many words, hey, that was God. I gave up. I kept praying, but I didn't think they were ever going to get saved. God had to do that. And there's going to be things that happen in your life that this year that you'll say, this was God. Wasn't me, one man, nobody else could do it but God. And I want you to remember when you have those times when the waters part and you walk across that river on dry ground, that the eyes of the Lord are upon you. When we're on that mountaintop, when we know He's working in our life, when we feel His presence in a very special way, remember the eyes of the Lord are upon you. There's going to be some battles this year. There's going to be some victories where we'll rejoice, clap our hands, and say, thank you, Lord. There's going to be some defeats where, just like the people at Ai hung their head and mourned and said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And again, I don't care if it's in victories or defeats, we need to remember that the eyes of the Lord are always upon you from the beginning of the year until the end of it. And if I could just, and that's what I'm trying to do tonight, if I could just get across one truth and say, hey, take this truth into 2005. This one Bible truth, if you could just get a hold of it and stamp it on your brain and always remember that whatever the new year holds, that we have a God who always keeps His eye upon us. Just like Evan told me a minute ago, I got my eye on you. not Chantel, I got my eye on you. So does God. So does God. I was reminded of that story this afternoon as I was finishing up my notes, a story I've told before of a father who just buried his wife, the mother of his only child, a little four-year-old boy, and all the relatives had gone home. It was just he and his son. First night in their home since mom went to heaven. And he tucked his little fellow in and crawled into the bed, turned off the lights, heard a little whimper from the other room. And a little voice said, hey, Daddy, could I come and sleep with you? And his dad said, yeah, come on, come get in the bed with me. Got the little boy in the bed with him, turned out the lights, heard a little voice say, Daddy, have you got your eyes on me? Are you looking at me? And the dad said, yep, son, I got my eyes on you, and I always will. And that's what we need to remember. We got a God in heaven that loves us more than we'll ever be able to understand. And He never, ever takes His eyes off of us. Let's go into 2005 with that one truth. The eyes of the Lord are always upon you from the beginning of the year till the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that blessed truth. Thank you that you're a God that never leaves us alone. Regardless of what's going on in our life, you're there. And you got your eyes on us. And you're leading us. And you're giving us what we need every single hour, every single minute, every single second of every single day. And I pray tonight, Father, that whatever the year 2005 holds for us as a church, whatever it holds for us as individuals, that we'd always know that we have a God that never slumbers or sleeps, a God who always has his eyes on us. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they make that decision. If there's Christians here that you're speaking to about something else, I pray we'd listen, we'd be obedient, and we do what the Holy Spirit directs. Bless this time of invitation, use it to your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.